supermarkets are popping up in new neighborhoods at an unprecedented rate. The related control of food supply chains affects the quality, quantity, and price of food available to urban residents, but also sellers and entrepreneurs involved in the business of food. On the one hand, the spread of supermarkets could offer consumers more choices, while also translating larger purchasing power into cheaper prices. On the other hand, the growth of big business can also be the ruin of small and medium-sized farms and smallholder producers. These shelves bursting with stock, just where does it all come from? This episode of Feeding Hungry Cities, Southern Africa, speaks on food security, looks at the business of supermarkets in the region.
The research shows that the majority of urban dwellers, and here we're talking about our surveys that AFSIN has done, which really focuses on poor urban households, the majority of these households do in fact purchase food regularly from supermarkets. In most of the 11 cities that we surveyed, the urban poor use supermarkets more than any other source for their food.
According to the African Food Security Urban Network, urban food retailing in Southern Africa is increasingly dominated by a small number of major supermarket chains. Bruce Frain, AFSIN researcher and a professor at the University of Waterloo in Canada, stresses that expansion is not just happening in the cities, but that supermarkets appear all over the place.
Supermarkets are really part of the formal value chain at both the procurement and retail end of that spectrum. And we see in the Southern African region, but also more generally across the continent, a rapid expansion of supermarkets. They're penetrating territories, both in terms of rural areas as well as smaller urban centers, as well as big metropolitan areas. In all of the countries, really across Africa.
Perhaps the biggest draw to supermarkets is convenience. The ability to buy everything from meat to canned goods to fresh produce, all in one place. Bright lights, tidy shelves, and fast-moving queues make supermarkets an attractive choice for many. Are African farmers and producers being forgotten in the mix? Most consumers picking up their ingredients off store shelves would rarely stop to think about the long journey the product has taken. To find out a bit more, we decided to follow up on one of Southern Africa's most loved ingredients, the tomato.
I will imagine tomato is one of the easiest products to sell, you know, given that locally it's the main ingredient for what we call sachet. You know, you cannot imagine pap without, you know, a tomato. You cannot imagine making gravy without tomato. So it sells itself.
I see you're busy cooking. I don't know, what are you making there?
I'm making gravy. My all-time favorite. Well, it's quite simple, but I love it still.
Like many in Southern Africa, Dumisa Vinindwa's favorite dish is a much-favored tomato gravy. Yet also like many, she probably hasn't spent much time thinking about how and where her tomatoes come from.
A farm has to come from a farm somewhere. I just don't know. Okay, I know how it's grown. It comes from a certain tree, like smallest tree. That's where it comes from.
By the time it reaches a cooking pot, Dumisa's tomato has already had a long journey. While it is a much-used ingredient in many dishes and salads, the tomato is, simply put, not all that easy to grow. If you live in South Africa, then you've probably eaten a ZZ2 tomato. This fresh produce company produces 160,000 tons of tomatoes annually from farms in South Africa's Limpopo and Western Cape Province. Even before the seedlings are planted, the dedicated growers at ZZ2 have already prepared seeds and land in a complex process that looks at everything from soil and water analysis to irrigation and fertilization. In the case of ZZ2, this means using compost and chicken manure, as their process is committed to Natuurbeheer in Afrikaans, or nature farming as it is known in English.
And then once you have good seedlings qualities, that's where the second step starts. It's planting. Here at ZZ2, we use manual planting. Labor go and plant the tomatoes, and then after planting, you have to follow the production. It will take you up to 20 to 24 weeks. Usually during summer, around 10 to 12 weeks, depending on the region, you can start harvesting tomatoes. And we do that almost on a daily basis or once a week or something like that. And it can take you, like I said, up to 28 weeks, depending if the crop is healthy. So during that whole period of 24 weeks, there are many things that we have to take into consideration.
Dr. Pombiti Nzanza heads up ZZ2's immense production process and is the head of research innovation at the company. According to Dr. Nzanza, tomato production is very intensive, requiring daily labor for cultivating, pruning, trellising, and all the steps required, not to mention harvesting. After battling pests and diseases, the tomatoes are sent to the packhouse, where they are placed on board yellow ZZ2 trucks and transported to produce markets, where agents broker sales.
If you go to the fresh produce markets, we have agents where every day we send the crop, we send the product. Once the product is there, the price is determined by supply and demand. So the agent will look at the demand and set the price. And then through the day, they work out up until the demand and the supply is met.
It's mid-morning at one such produce market in Johannesburg City Deep. Trading has already quietened down as most of the agents, vendors, transporters and purchasers arrive here at the crack of dawn to finish their business and to be on their way. ZZ2 tomatoes can be seen, red, plump and juicy, packed in boxes and piled up high in stacks. Dumisa's tomatoes would have passed through here on their way to her gravy.
I would say probably 99 out of every 100 households, they've got a tomato, you know, in their fridge. And for as long as that they are located here within the vicinity of the market or in Gauteng, we believe that that product has gone through our hands as the Joburg market. Yes, it plays a significant role in terms of our business, but also it's also one of the biggest contributors to our revenue, you know, given the demand for the product, especially amongst, you know, the end users.
The fresh produce market supplies both small informal traders and big supermarkets, says Thomas Mawasha, senior manager for marketing and communication at the Johannesburg Fresh Produce Market.
I will say we sell products to all the supermarket chain groups. Of course, I would not know, for instance, you know, how many, you know, Pick and Pays you've got available in Gauteng, because we not only sell the products to the local, you know, chain groups. I mean, we do receive buyers from as far as Botswana, from Mozambique, you know, Zambia, up to the DRC, you know, and the likes. But we do have a sizable, you know, amount, you know, of you know, chain retailers buying products from us.
Once the agents have finished brokering deals, it's time for the tomato and other products to make their way to the vendor. For the past 6 years, Moses Chope has arrived at 6 a.m. to carry the stock for the traders who are here to purchase. He arrives early and knows very well which produce sells most. The tomato is amongst them. He spoke to Simpiwe Kwija about the farm fresh produce that has people coming from across the province to buy at the market.
What are the things that people buy most?
The thing that people buy the most, it is tomato, cabbage and carrots, potatoes and beetroot.
In your own opinion, why do you think these people come to stock here?
It is because the place is the base of fresh produce from the farm. Yes, that's why the most people come here to buy stock. People from Everton and from everywhere else far.
From the produce market, tomatoes travel on trucks, often to supermarkets like the Fruit and Veg, managed by Michael Mbele.
So where do you guys stock your tomatoes?
Yes, we do stock tomatoes a lot.
Where do you guys stock it?
At City Deep in Joburg.
Okay, so the transportation, how is it from City Deep? How cheap or how accessible is it?
No, we've got our truck that deliver for us daily.
What's the demand of the tomato in the store, within the store?
Currently, the tomatoes, they're expensive.
From here to the cooking pots of people like Dumisa, whether it's a tomato, carrot or onion, and in countries across the region, the products found on the supermarkets travel similar journeys, except that some journeys are much longer, reaching across borders. Mostly based out of South Africa, supermarket chains have rapidly expanded into southern African countries. One country where South African supermarkets have gained a strong foothold is Botswana.
Botswana imports 90% of its food. The vast majority of that food comes from South Africa, and specifically most people in Botswana buy their food at supermarkets, and many of those supermarket chains are controlled by South African business people.
Botswana is a semi-arid country which struggles to supply sufficient food for the population. So, does the presence of supermarkets mean food security for the population? Not necessarily, says Bill Mosley, a professor at McAllister College, Minneapolis, St. Paul's, and an expert on food security in Africa.
It's problematic for the poorest of the poor, both in the rural context and in the urban context, because, especially in the urban context, the typically they're not producing much of their food, so they have to resort to the market. Even though a lot of that food is coming from South Africa, South Africa is a very globalized economy, so when food prices fluctuate globally, it impacts food prices in South Africa, and that's the food they're importing. And so people are exposed, they're vulnerable, they're exposed to these market fluctuations. And if you had more urban gardening or more rural food production, that's a buffer against this global volatility, and it would improve food security. Botswana has one of the most unequal income distributions in the world, along with South Africa and Namibia. And so what that means is, while it's a middle-income country, in aggregate, it's doing very well. You have large segments of the population who continue to struggle, and that persistent poverty correlates very strongly with food insecurity.
South African supermarket giant Pick n Pay has 5 stores in Zambia, the last one of which was opened in Kitwe, the country's second largest city. When the company landed in the country in July 2010, the politically powerful Farmers Union convinced the government, insist that at least half of the supermarket's chain's goods were sourced from Zambian suppliers. Today, more than 3/4 of the store's produce comes from within the country. Namibia has also employed similar strategies to make sure that their farmers do not get left out. Robin Tyson spoke to Robert Voigt, manager of Mairua Super Spy in Windhoek, where government has also stepped in to link supermarkets with local production.
There is basically, there's a restriction, if you want to call it like that, that you are forced to buy a certain percentage from local producers, otherwise you're not allowed to import produce from South Africa. It's a bit difficult for the individual supermarkets to buy directly from the farmers, but therefore buy mostly through the local suppliers that they source from all the farmers.
Yet relying on local supply instead of centralized just-in-time supply also has its challenges. These challenges include the demand of the product far outpacing the supply, as well as seasonal operations, among others.
It's not always that easy, because as a supermarket you need regular supply. So if I don't want to buy from a farmer, so and he promises me, let's say, 0.5 ton of potatoes on a certain day, I need to be sure that I'll get it. Unfortunately, that's not always possible, and then I sit without stock. Yep. So it causes a bit of a problem for us. Obviously, we'd like to support the local produce as much as possible. We must have a regular supply of all of it, and we must know what we would get when, or know early enough at least that we wouldn't be able to get it to source otherwise. Yep. So it poses a bit of a problem, but we'd like to support them as much as possible.
The Teeming Township of Alexandra is one of the poorest areas of South Africa. One local supermarket teams up with the community to support the entrepreneurship for mutual benefit.
Do you share any business relations with informal traders?
Yeah, we do have partnership with the informal traders, like vendors at Pan Africa Mall. Together with ABI, we're giving them the discounted prices on cool drinks. They have an account with us, and then we support them. And then we have straight to the door guys. Those guys are young guys from Alex. They come to our store in the morning and afternoon. We give them discount on bread, and then they distribute to the community in Alexander. It's part of our business plan when we come to Alex, that we're not going to take money from Alex. We are in partnership with them, and then if they come up with the innovation of anything, we'll support them to grow.
Supermarkets are no doubt here to stay. Their primary goal, profit, of course. However, with creative approaches and good policies governing operations, supermarkets can contribute to food security and entrepreneurship. Recognizing how supermarkets operate and where the entry points are will be important for encouraging them to be part of ensuring they contribute to food access for all.